Hey there, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Eyes Free Sports Podcast. Once again, my name is Greg Lindberg. On this episode of the Eyes Free Sports Podcast, we catch up with two guests. One is the founder of the Blind Stokers Club based out of San Diego, California, and the other is a gentleman who has been in the club as a blind stoker for several years. So we had a great time talking about tandem cycling and just all the benefits of this great sport, in addition to some unique concepts that the club has introduced in the midst of this whole coronavirus situation. So here we go with episode 9. Okay, so welcome to episode 9 of the podcast, and joining me today, we have two guests. We have Dave White, who is the founder of the Blind Stokers Club based out of San Diego, California. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. And then we also have Jaime Gonzalez, who is a blind stoker, has been involved in the club for several years. Jaime, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun. Definitely look forward to this conversation. And this is the first time we've had two guests on at the same time. So I think this will be a really cool dynamic. So just to get started here, Dave, could you just kind of talk about the history of the Blind Stokers Club, how it got started, and just kind of the whole backstory there?
Sure. I'd be glad to, Greg. Actually, I'll start by saying it's just a little bit awkward since we're in this lockdown mode right now with the coronavirus, and our activities have been brought inside for the most part. But I'd like to tell the story of the Blind Stokers Club from the perspective of our annual event now called Cycling for Sight. And Cycling for Sight had its beginning in 2005 as a event like many that was born out of a well-meaning group of folks in Pfizer, and a couple cyclists in particular. Well, a chance invitation to that new event brought me and my family into that group and into that first Cycling for Sight in 2005. It started in Santa Barbara and finished in La Jolla. And what I did was invited my tandem captain friends and my blind stoker friends to meet us up at the glider port in La Jolla, which was our meetup spot before making our final parade lap or into the finishing ceremony that we did at the Braille Institute. And I was able to bring in about 12 tandems with captains and blind stokers to put a cap on that event, in which we actually had three tandems on the event. And one was myself with my wife and daughter trading off stoking, and two others that each had a blind stoker on board. But that that last leg of the first Cycling for Sight is what we now recognize as the beginning of what we now call the Blind Stokers Club.
So it sounds like it was kind of an unexpected way that this organization was actually started, in a way.
Well, for sure. And, you know, of course, there was a background. My own background was important, and that had to do with the fact that I had become a tandem captain, a tandem owner, and practitioner with my wife as stoker some years earlier. But more importantly, I had been pointed towards a City of San Diego park and rec program called Therapeutic Recreation Services that had a monthly tandem ride of a very, very novice style. And so I volunteered as someone who could show up with my tandem and give rides to people who were in the program and had either physical or developmental disabilities. So it wasn't just blindness, but could have been someone with autism or Down syndrome or the like. But the important thing I took away from that was how much joy I got out of you know, going for a bike ride and watching in my little helmet mirror the expressions of those stokers, those guest stokers that I would take on very short rides, and how much that improved my attitude and how much that I took away from those brief encounters. So when the Cycling for Sight activity came along, I knew it was something I could contribute to and have fun with, first of all. And then when we had the opportunity then to think of having a year-round permanent year-round bicycle club that could carry on with the annual event, that just seemed something worth trying to do. And we got it started, and it's had quite a natural growth up to a level now where we have 140 members year round.
Wow, very cool. So that is quite a large scale event from what it sounds like.
That's the club, and you know, the club is composed primarily of two-person tandem teams. We have the luxury of accepting pipelines of blind and visually impaired people and sighted single cyclists into the club. And so then we're able to effectively introduce strangers to each other in order to perform the club's primary mission, which is very simply stated as to share the sport of cycling with those who can't see well enough to pilot their own bike.
Right, I see. And then Jaime, let's go to you just, you know, for a second here. I'm curious, how did you first initially get involved in the Blind Stokers Club, and what have you really enjoyed most about the experience?
Well, basically, I was volunteering at the Braille Institute and talking to somebody, and they asked about me, and they said, oh, what were your hobbies? And I said, well, I used to cycle a lot. I rode to work and back, and I took part in some tours that they have out here, local tours, Tour de Poway, which is an annual thing. I did the Rosarita and Sonata 50-mile ride once, and so I enjoyed it. But in 2009, my eyes started fading. And I couldn't cycle alone. So anyway, I was talking to this friend at the Braille Institute about that, and he gave me Dave White's number. And he said, hey, give him a call. It's a bike club for blind people. They have a tandem team, you know, with a sighted captain in front. And I said, okay. So I called Dave, and he set up an appointment to meet me where I lived, and he brought the tandem out. Now, I hadn't been on a bike in about 3-plus years, so I was really nervous. I thought, how am I going to really perform? So we did a 5-mile, just kind of a, test ride, I guess. And that seemed to work out okay. It was totally the first time I'd ever been on the back of a tandem, so it was interesting, but it was good.
Yeah.
And a week later, we did a 37-mile kind of a test ride, and then within that month, I believe we did the Tour de Palm Springs, and Dave became my captain. And it really was great because I decided to be part of the club because it gave me back the ability to cycle. I've always liked that kind of thing, so that's pretty much how I got directed to Dave White and the Blind Stokers through a friend in the Braille Institute where I was volunteering.
And I understand, Jaime, that it is ocular albinism, the condition that you do have.
Yes.
And is that a genetic condition? Or?
Yeah, what it is it's genetic, and I lack pigment in the back of my eyes. And so you need that, people need that pigment in their eyes, especially in their first 6 months of life where a lot of the brain connections are forming. Without that, I had very bad sight, and so those connections in the brain never formed up. So basically, it affected my development as far as the visual centers in the brain. So I've been this way all my life.
Let's talk about, you know, the role of the captain. I've also heard, you know, the term pilot used as the sighted individual on the bike, on the tandem. And then the role of the stoker. So Dave, if you could just talk about the role of the captain, and then Jaime, if we could go to you and you could just talk about your role as a stoker.
Sure. So the captain is really, can be thought of very much akin to the captain of a ship or the captain of an airplane in that he or she is fully responsible for, let's say, the safe navigation of the vehicle at play. And on the bike, in fact, most of the operating controls are in the captain's hands. That would be the steering, the braking, the gear shifting, for example. And the captain should have an idea of where they're going in one way or another, especially when you don't have a fully sighted stoker ready to help do a lot of navigating. And then in our club, of course, it goes beyond that because our teams are more than captain and stoker. They end up becoming friends, and because we have the luxury of making what we call permanent teams. So our roster, our first page of our roster is composed of our standing teams of stokers and captains that make up the core of the club.
And then Jaime, just from the perspective of a stoker, what is your actual role?
Well, I think it's teamwork for sure. And I think both of us benefit from the rides. You know, it's athletic, it's fun, and there's a social aspect to it. Now, as far as a stoker, I'm tasked with signaling, you know, if we're going to make right turn, left turn. I think personally, I want to be in pretty good shape. That way, you know, I can pull my weight too, because it's not good to sandbag if we're going up a hill. And I have to become part of the bike in a way. I'm like a backpack, I always say. I don't put any inputs in as far as leaning this or that. I rely solely on the captain. And I basically provide power. So, yeah, I'm in the rear with the gear, like an engine room or something on a ship.
Yeah.
And I listen to what the captain says. He communicates things, he or she, verbally. And, you know, we acknowledge what we're hearing. Like they tell us to prepare for a bump or a stop or a turn or something to that effect. And so it becomes a team. It is definitely a team. And, you know, we both, captain and stokers, get enjoyment out of it. And as a stoker, I want to be in good shape. I want to show up on time and have a good attitude and just make the experience fun.
Yeah, that's well said. And I'm curious, how long does it take for that, you know, that relationship, that partnership to develop where there is, you know, really a comfort level between the captain and the stoker?
I'll speak to that a little bit because it'll relate to what Jaime mentioned as the so-called check ride. So check ride is one of the things that I started and I consistently do with every new blind and visually impaired member of the club. And it's something that I enjoy immensely. It's one of my favorite things because I'm able to, with a very short ride, and I do more than just ride. We go and first introduce the bike. Some of our members have previous tandem experience, so that kind of puts them in a different category. They still need and get a check ride from me because it's an evaluation process. And it's an evaluation to help me in my matchmaking. So now I'm getting more to the point of your question, because what I've learned more and more over the years is how important matchmaking is, because I want to try and make the best matches I can. And that has to do with not only physical matching of cyclists onto the tandem bike, let's say that they're going to ride, and with each other. But almost more importantly are those social aspects that Jaime mentioned, and things like, you know, where do you want to go in the sport? You know, because we're inclusive and we have members of all different ages and interests in the sport. And some may want to just ride casually once or twice a month. Others may want to go so far as to see how fast they can go and even enter some competitive events and races. So we try and support each and every one in their own interests. And a key to doing that would be certainly matching up with someone who has a similar interests or capabilities as a partner.
Right, I see. And then Jaime, any, you know, perspective on your end as far as from the stoker, just that establishing that comfort level and kind of what's involved in that?
Oh, yeah, that's huge. First of all, everybody has different personalities, but certain people tend to blend better than others. You know, it's just nature and life. And I've had the chance to ride with several captains, some of them substitutes. You know, Dave was my captain for a couple of years, and then I left the club for a brief, you know, amount of time, and I came back. I rode with another captain who was young, really young. I mean, I almost felt like an old man. I was twice his age, but we joked around and laughed. There's a lot of banter back and forth, you know, while we're riding, and that's important. The other thing is, then I've ridden with substitute captains, and I've enjoyed that too. What's important, I think, is sometimes, okay, you start off with verbal communication of what's going on the ride. But I think when you get to know the person, you can kind of second guess what's going on, so it's more fluid. And then after, we have usually little get-togethers or something for lunch, or we've done rides that are like road trip rides, adventures. I'm sure Dave will talk about those. And so after the ride's over, there's a lot of camaraderie that goes along with it. So it really helps to get along with your partner, you know, and be, or your tandem captain. And, you know, it adds that social aspect, the depth to it. It's not just cycling. It's actually a lot of fun.
I did want to talk about a little more about the cycling first sight event. And from what I understand, that can be over the course of several days. Is that correct?
Yeah, it started as a 3-day, 225-mile, you know, point-to-point, as I mentioned, Santa Barbara, then to Malibu area for the first night, down to Laguna area or Irvine for the second night. And we stayed at university campuses at Pepperdine and UC Irvine, and then finally finished in San Diego. That was the first model that we did for 5 years. The event evolved, and the second model then started in Pfizer in La Jolla and in San Diego, again on a Friday, rode to UC Irvine and for two overnights. That gave us a second day to just do a local ride, which we had some extra fun with, and then back on Sunday. So that was a 3-day second model. And the third model that we're using now for the last 6 years is keeps us local in San Diego. And the idea there was to attract more of our local cycling friends to, of course, join in the fun and the fundraising part of the event. And so we do this on a weekend by having an overnight at CSU San Marcos. So we use the student apartments there in their summer conference program, and that works out well. And we start and end our rides at the local Trek bicycle store, who's a sponsor of the club. And so we run, and that way we can have a selection of rides for participants to choose from on both Saturday and again on Sunday. And we're also able to include a nice picnic lunch at our partner, the San Diego Center for the Blind, that is conveniently on the Saturday route, and serves up a nice lunch for us there.
Nice. That sounds like such an awesome event. And
yeah,
just the fact it's over. So, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the really things that we always look forward to, besides including all of our local members who get involved, and this is really both a reward and a fundraising activity, are those members and friends of the club from outside of San Diego that come and join us for our annual Cycling for Sight and just add extra flavor, and we get to see them beyond the relationships that we may have on Facebook or in emails. And so that's always a highlight. And of course, we've been planning for our 16th Cycling for Sight. It's on our calendar this year for June 13th and 14th. And we have not officially either canceled or postponed it, but I'm pretty sure we'll be doing one of those two things here fairly soon.
Right, yeah.
Due to the virus response that we're all participating in as we record this podcast.
Exactly, yeah. And Jaime, I assume you have participated in the Cycling for Sight?
Yeah, the first one I participated in was in 2015. A few months after I joined the club, I believe I joined in January of 2015. Mm-hmm. And it was new to me, and it was really wonderful. It was a two-day ride, like Dave was saying, like 40, 50 miles each day. The first day we rode, and then we got together afterwards at a brewery, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had at the San Marcos, Cal State San Marcos campus, where we were sleeping overnight at. We had like a dinner and a fun night, and it was great. The following day was the final ride, and we ended up at Trek. So I think I did, 2015, 2016, and 2019. I participated in three. And it's true what Dave says. We attract people from around the country, I would guess. I know there were some people from Central California last year and other people that participated that had come out to San Diego to be part of it. It was quite a group. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very cool. And I would imagine it is fairly tiring. I mean, riding that many, you know, miles and hours, you know, with, you know, a few days in a row, I've got to believe is tiring. Would you guys agree?
it's tiring, but it's really special because, in fact, one of the ways I characterize our Cycling for Sight is a 30-hour retreat. So it's a whole change of environment. We get out of our homes. We maybe leave our normal family circle behind. And then we become, you know, something that we do on our club rides for maybe a couple hours to become a cycling family. But now we can do it for 30 hours, and that just adds a richness to the experience. And we had another treat last year. So we went off campus for dinner for the first time. To a place called the Old Spaghetti Factory. And we invited one of our members to come and talk about his recent voyage of inspiration. It was a sailing voyage by one of our blind stokers, who's also a blind ocean sailor and a blind Ironman triathlete. But he sailed from San Diego to Japan in 55 days last year, February through April. And so Hiro Iwamoto accepted our invitation and came and told us quite about his grand adventure, sailing 7,000 miles in a 40-foot sailboat with a sighted novice sailor along with him.
Unreal. What an experience that must have been.
That's an example and there's so many, and Jaime could talk more about other members that he's met. We have, I consider the club a natural magnet for high achievers, for people who really are role models and really, do things and go places and really, make something of themselves and the people around them. And that's really quite something to watch, and to watch our members interact in such great ways. I say that every one of our members is both enriched by fellow members and is also a provider of enrichment to the other members around.
Right. That's well said. Yeah. And I know, Jaime, you had mentioned to me that you've worked as an electronics engineer, and from what it sounds like, there's quite a variety of professionals and just people of all ages and backgrounds, and, you know, some very accomplished individuals, you know, like yourself professionally in the group as well.
Oh, absolutely. When I heard of the Blind Stokers Club, I just thought, okay, they're probably blind people, you know, and I didn't really give it much thought. But when I got to know people, and this is a social aspect, and become friends with people, I realized that some of them, you know, were engineers. Some of them are engineers as well. Some of them were, like we have one PhD, and then there was people of all walks of life that had jobs, you know, in public service or things like that. So it's really a microcosm of San Diego, I would say. I mean, there's people that have families, have kids, grandkids, and then we had a very young writer, Danielle, who was in high school, and then a couple of our older members that I really look up to, Dottie Deans. She's in her 80s and she can rock and roll. I mean, she goes the miles, and I kind of want to be that way when I get to that age bracket. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does attract all a lot of different people, and we have a core group of people that we retained, I think, over the years. You see the same faces sometimes. You see new faces, but you see a lot of the same people. And a lot of people are veterans that were in the military. I mean, it's varied. So there's so many different people from so many different walks of life and quite different age ranges. My captain, for example, is a medical student, and he's 24, I would assume. So, you know, he's young. My current captain now is a little older than me, and he's an engineer. Now, some of the Blind Stokers themselves have had different professions in life. You know, some of the people lost their eyesight midlife. Some of them, like me, were born this way. And there's people with varied eyesight situations. Some can see nothing at all and they're total. And some people are, like me, partial. So that's what makes it interesting. There's no typical Blind Stoker. You know, there's just quite a bit of variety, and that makes it fun. You know, it makes it good because you get to listen to other people's stories, and conversations are great and they're interesting. So yeah, it's quite a difference. A lot of different people, a lot of different types of people, different lives.
Right. Very cool. I did want to talk about the Adventures events. I know you guys alluded to that earlier. As far as those, you know, those activities, what exactly are the adventure events, if you could explain those?
Yeah, so the club, you know, got rolling, and I say Cycling for Sight is the real annual event that all members look forward to, and we've made it inclusive now, especially with the variety of ride choices on both Saturday and Sunday. But Adventures is in our byline, actually. We say vision through imagination, teamwork, and adventure. And part of that's because I always enjoy some adventure flavor. And so over the years, we've done some road trips where we go to a community event, maybe at Palm Springs we've done. We've gone up to the Central California area and done one of their weekend community events, and that adds some adventure. But recent years, we've made more of a point of that. And so last November, we did a adventures weekend to Borrego Springs. So the idea of adventures is to attract those members that want to go beyond our regular cycling program. And it explores beyond the everyday places and lifestyles and seeking enrichment of more diverse experiences. But also, we recognize that one of the reasons that many of our Stokers, for example, don't go places and do some of these sorts of things is for financial reasons. So our Adventures program overcomes those financial barriers to allow the budget-constrained members chances to enjoy some of these multi-day bike touring experiences like my wife and I, for example, have had so much fun with over the years and taking our tandem on travel. Well, this is done in the club through need-based grants that are crowdfunded and internally awarded. So last November, we enjoyed 3 days of our doing our own cycling program out in a local desert, Borrego Springs. It's less than 2 hours from us in San Diego, but a whole different environment, away from home. And we had, you know, a 3-day sort of retreat out there, had rides, had meals, had free time to do whatever, lay around the pool, or and our local desert in November is a great place to be. So we followed that with our adventures activity for 2020 on our calendar is to go to Michigan and join a week-long organized bike tour along the shores of Lake Michigan.
Wow.
Called Shoreline West. And it's a wonderful event put on by the League of Michigan Bicyclists annually. This will be their 34th Shoreline West, scheduled for August 1st through the 8th. So like everything these days, that'll be pending how and where we all end up responding to this this virus that we're fighting these days.
And yeah, that definitely sounds like another unique, you know, event, and those types of activities, like you said, just for the whole social connections, and there's so many benefits to going out of town and doing things like that, I feel like, for everybody.
Yeah, and not only that, so we have about 15 or 20 of our members that are all excited about, and we're in the very middle planning stages for Michigan in August, but we also put this out to our remote members and have attracted an equal number of members from Washington, D.C., and from New York and Florida and Tennessee, a variety that are also really got on board with being part of Blind Stokers Club Adventures. And again, that would give us a really unique opportunity to get together and have our kind of our own blind tandem rally. We're hoping that we'll still be able to do that. If not this year, we'll reschedule.
I also wanted to mention the virtual rides that you've done. And I know you did invite me to one that I am looking forward to participating in. And again, with the whole virus situation and people using Zoom for just about anything and everything these days, I thought it was really cool that you are incorporating, you know, cycling into that as well.
Well, that's great. Thanks for the question, because this is a good example of the, you know, both the creativity and the capabilities of our membership. And so our calendar shows this time of year, a club ride every other Saturday. And I might mention that our ride program consists of club rides and then rides that our teams can do whenever and wherever they want to, of course, to supplement those club rides. Well, when we got into this lockdown period, stay at home, I should call it, you know, we're feeling at a loss at not having our regular meetups and interacting with our friends in the club. So one of our members said, "Well, let's do it online. Let's do a virtual ride." So we did that a week ago, and it was a lot of fun. And some were on spin bikes. I was not on a bike, but I all suited up because my wife and I went out for a ride from home immediately after that. And one of our teams was actually on their tandem on the ride with the captain and the stoker each having called into the Zoom meeting. So this is great, and it'll help us stay connected. But we immediately also realized that, hey, we can turn something here into a positive by now including remote members in our virtual rides that couldn't otherwise join us physically. So our next one next Saturday, and we'll be putting out invitations to, of course, you, Greg, and others around the country. And even I want to invite our Kiwi line stoker friend, Mike Lloyd, down in New Zealand. So we hope to get some more members to join us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a cool concept and very creative. And then I did want to ask Jaime, as far as, you know, if someone's listening to this who is visually impaired or blind and maybe has not been very active, or but might have their curiosity piqued by tandem cycling, what kind of advice would you give that person to really get started? And, you know, if they were interested, just kind of taking that next step.
Oh, I would say definitely give it a shot. I thought my cycling days were over, and by, I guess, serendipity, happenstance, I happened to find out about the club and join. And that changed my outlook, because I realized, okay, I want to be a better rider, so then let me start training in a gym or something, you know. And, of course, maybe watching what I eat and all that. So that had a definite health effect on me, and actually it improves my health. It opened up my circle of friends, you know, too. So I would advise somebody, just because you're blind, you don't drive, or mobility is an issue because of that. And if you want to cycle, go for it. It's enriching. And it just brings that part of life that's good. You know, the social connections, the exercise, the health, there's a lot of benefits from it. I tried it, and I'm still with it, and I enjoy it. And everybody that, I mean, most people I see, it's a positive experience. Just, you know, be willing to ride, show up on time, you know, it's great. And, you know, it definitely, the adventures are fun. I'll give that. I've been on a couple of them. I did go to Borrego, and, that was great. It was the after ride activities that were good. And those are part of the club and the social bonding that takes place. So I would advise somebody, you know, go online, it's on Facebook or whatever, and give it a shot, you know. Definitely, it's been a positive in my life for sure.
Nice. Yeah, definitely wise words right there. All right, so just to wrap up here, Dave, if you could just give folks, you know, the contact information for the Blind Stokers Club, and then if you could also talk about, I know you had mentioned to me some type of database where folks can sign up to become either a captain or a stoker as well.
Yes, thank you. So our main website is blindstokersclub.org on the internet. And we have the same nomenclature on Facebook, at, of course, facebook.com/blindstokersclub. On our homepage of our website, there are several key links, and one of them is to simply join the club. That's a diamond-shaped yellow sign with the words "Join Here." Joining our club is very easy. There's no financial requirement. We have no club fees or dues. Your contact information is tightly held. We have our membership roster covered by password protection in that regard. And as far as the database, that's maintained strictly by me. Akin to our member database is what I call the Tandem Partner Finder database, which is intended mostly for those outside of San Diego. And this is where I'm able to help match remotely using zip code and location type information. So, and we always send only captain, and these are experienced tandem captains, by the way. We send only those experienced tandem captain entries to blind or visually impaired either stokers with experience, or maybe they don't have any experience, and maybe they just they want to become one. But we send the information that way, so that the outreach and the control of meeting is in the hands of the stoker. at their own discretion and will. So anybody can enter their profile in either or both of those databases by being in our member database. Then you'll receive occasional emails about things we're doing or announcements.
I see. Nice. And we can definitely include that info just in text form within the show notes for this episode, as far as those links and that info.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Yeah. Well, Dave White and Jaime Gonzalez, I want to thank both of you for joining me here on the Eyes Free Sports podcast and talking about some tandem cycling, and really appreciate the time. And hey, maybe we can have you guys on again at some point.
Thank you so much, Greg. And best to you with Eyes Free Sports and your podcast series. And we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday on our virtual ride.
Absolutely. All righty. Sounds great.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having us on. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Cool. All righty. Thanks, guys. Take care and stay well. Be sure to follow the Eyes Free Sports podcast at facebook.com/eyesfreesports and on Twitter @eyesfreesports.